Douglas Crook, Sunday AM, May 9th, 2010. I've been given a series of messages periodically, from time to time, on individuals in the Bible who are revealed to have possessed a proven character. We started out with Timothy, and that's how Paul described Timothy, that he had a proven character. A proven character is a character that's been tested by God. That's the main thought behind the proving. To be tested by God and to come through the test to be found to be pleasing to God. Individuals with a proven character before God, they possess certain virtues, certain attitudes that cause them to act and react in a certain way in every circumstance and every situation in their life. The purpose of the series that I've been having from time to time, we've studied Timothy and Joshua and Caleb and a couple of other individuals of faith. And the reason I think that such a study is important is because when you look at their lives and what they did and how they acted and how they lived, we see illustrated for us what it means to have a proven character. And some of us need that. I need an illustration. You know, you can give me the principles and sometimes that's enough, but when I'm having difficulty really grasping, I need to see it illustrated for me. And that's one of the main purposes that we have, especially as we look at the Old Testament, of these men and women of faith. They're illustrations of the things that please God. And so if I want to please God, I need to emulate those men and women of faith that God has already says, I approve of them. Many of them are found in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11, where it says that they received a good report, that God approved of them. So this is the purpose of studying these individuals. We can look at the virtues and their attitudes and their decisions, and then we can learn from them. In honor of Mother's Day today, I thought it would be good for us to consider the life of a woman who was found to have a proven character. Her name is Ruth. You can be turning to Ruth, but we will actually open with another verse, but we'll get to Ruth, so keep your finger there. But then you can also be opening to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to consider this woman who became a mother in Israel, exalted to a very important place in God's plans and purposes. And so she certainly is an example to all women. She's certainly an example to all mothers. But she is an example to every believer, male or female. Because, you know, God, and I have to be careful here because some people misunderstand these things when I say them, but one of the reasons that it's difficult sometimes for these Hallmark created special days of Mother's Day, Father's Day, Grandmother's Day, Grandpa's Day, is that we lose the scriptural perspective of these things. When God talks about, and the Bible has a lot to say about honoring your father and your mother. So obviously, it's a subject that God cares about. But again, we must have his perspective on it. And all the context of all of God's commands to honor and your father and your mother, it's in the context of the will of God. Mothers and fathers that raise their children in the fear of God. Just being a mother in and of itself is not necessarily worthy of being honored. That's going to... Boy, I got quiet in here. But those women who desire to please the Lord with their life, every area of their life, including their family, those mothers are worthy of honor. God will honor them as individuals. And no matter what our position is in society, this is what honors God. Fear the Lord. Honor him. And desire to have his best in this life and in eternity, and then lead others into that same will of God. That life is worthy of honor, no matter what position they fill in life. Ruth was such a woman. She was a woman from Moab. She wasn't an Israelite. But she became a mother in Israel, a very important mother. She would become the ancestor of King David. And ultimately, of course, to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. That's a pretty important place in God's plan, isn't it? How did she get there? She is an example, certainly, to all women and all mothers, but she's an example to all of us. Her faith and her obedience. We should desire to emulate her. But what exactly is it that God found pleasing about this woman? I think if you will turn to Galatians 5:6, if you have not yet, Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, we'll start here and then we'll go over to Ruth. But I believe that Ruth's life can be summed up with a phrase that the Apostle Paul uses here in Galatians 5:6. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says this, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." What was it that was such a proven character in Ruth's life? She exercised a faith that worked by love. In this passage in Galatians 5, the word that's translated avails is the Greek word that means to have force or ability. Force or ability, to get something done. And then the word that's translated works there, faith that works or that is working through love, that word means energy. So it's faith that is energized and motivated by love. This is such an important truth to understand. Paul spoke of this. He used this term to rebuke the Galatians who were embracing the legality of circumcision and uncircumcision. In other words, they kept the law. They tried to keep the law of Moses, which included circumcision. They tried to keep the law of Moses in order to save themselves or keep themselves saved. They were trying to do something for God to earn his approval. But in God's economy, this is what Paul said to rebuke that error. In God's economy, nothing works except faith that works by love. There's a lot of error that can be overcome if you understand that it's by faith that's energized through love. That's how you please the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by self-effort. It's not by religiousness. It's not by trying to be good, and it's not by superstition. It's not by tradition. It's not by sentiment. None of those things can do anything in the realm of eternal things. There's only one thing that avails in the economy of God: faith that works by love. This, I believe, is exactly what we see in the life of Ruth. Without this energy of love, we believe God because he says something is true, because we love him who first loved us. And when we act and react according to that faith that's energized by love, we will be found pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go over to Ruth in the Old Testament. Chapter 1, and let's consider the example of the faith of Ruth that was energized by her love. Let's look at the actions and the attitude of Ruth as an example to us of an individual who pleased the Lord because of a proven character. We're going to see her faithfulness to her mother-in-law, Naomi. We're going to see her faithfulness to Boaz, who was to be her future husband. But we're also going to see her faithfulness to Jehovah. And this faithfulness to the Lord is what is found pleasing to her, what is found pleasing to the Lord in her life. Ruth married into a family of Israelites. I'm going to have to sum up some things for time's sake here this morning. But if you'll open there to Ruth chapter 1 and glance as I kind of give us an introduction to Ruth. But Ruth married into a family of Israelites. Remember, she was a Moabitess. And this Jewish family, they moved to Moab because there was a famine in the land of Canaan and they needed to escape it. They felt that they did. And so they went to Moab, and there is where they met Ruth. And Ruth's husband and Ruth's brother-in-law and Ruth's father-in-law all died in the process of those events. And her sister-in-law was named Orpah. Her mother-in-law was Naomi. And these ladies were left destitute. And in that day and in that economy, women without the support of a working husband or children, they were simply destitute. They didn't have Social Security. They didn't have their own pensions. They didn't have all. These women were in dire straits. And part of the economy was that if a husband died, then a brother could marry and then begin to support the widow and the wife. And that would kind of be the social support system. But that wasn't going to be the case because Naomi at this point was rather old, and these ladies weren't going to wait around for another child. And so what Naomi decided what was best for her, if she was going to live, if she was going to survive, she needed to go back to the land of Canaan where at least she had some relatives that she might be able to get some help and support from. So this was her decision, and this is where the story picks up in Ruth chapter 1, beginning about verse 6. And again, I'll have to skip through there, but you can scan through there. Both Ruth and Orpah loved their mother-in-law, Naomi. I do not question Orpah's love for her mother-in-law. They both decided, we're going to go back with Naomi to her native land, back to the land of Canaan. These women had never been out of the country. They were Moabites. They lived there. Everything familiar to them was in Moab, but they decided they were going out. Well, Naomi said, ladies, you need to count the cost. I've got nothing. I'm going to nothing. I've got nothing to offer you. Your best bet is to stay here among your own countrymen. And Orpah, when she heard Naomi say that, she cried. She didn't. She loved Naomi. She didn't want to leave her, but she felt, you know, when I look at the options of going with Naomi to some unknown things or staying here to what's familiar to me, I think I'm going to choose to stay here. And so Orpah turned around and went back home. But then let's pick up to see what Ruth said, this famous saying of Ruth. We'll look at the goodbye in verse 14 of Orpah. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Notice the spiritual implications here of these decisions. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you, or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and notice this statement. Your God shall be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. So when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. In other words, Naomi stopped protesting. Now, I'm not going to do any mother-in-law jokes here, but since mine's sitting over there. But has anyone ever said this to their mother-in-law? This was quite a bond, wasn't it? why do you suppose she loved her so? Well, I think it will become clear as you read the story of Ruth that Ruth was taught by her mother-in-law about Jehovah, about the God of Israel. And she fell in love not only with Naomi, but with Naomi's God. And when you fall in love with God, you can't help but love and appreciate those who point you to God. Have you not found that to be true in your life? So the faith that works by love that we see in Ruth, it really is toward the Lord, toward Jehovah. Even though we see certainly a direct manifestation of that love toward Naomi, when you love God as you ought, you will be able to love those around you as you should. And this is what we see. Both of these ladies loved Naomi, but do you see the difference in degree of love? Orpah at least went to the edge of the city with intentions of going on, and I believe they were sincere. But when she began to look at things, she said, "Well, I don't think I'm willing to make that commitment, full and unconditional. I'm going to stick with what I know." I believe she is a picture of many carnal Christians who truly love the Lord Jesus Christ. But when it comes to making an unconditional surrender to the will of God, especially when you begin to talk about faith and the unknown, and I'm just going to stay with what I know. You know, Brother Doug, I can't live the kind of life you talk about because, well, I've lived this way all my life. God has some new and exciting and eternally beneficial things for you if you'll go with Him. Those that are so afraid to go on with the Lord in a life of faith that's motivated by love, it's not too many years that they have to stop and examine their life, and some people don't stop. But if you're here this morning, I want you to stop and examine. How's it working out for you to go your own way? Is that working for you? Are you happy? Are you satisfied? Do you have a peace that passes understanding? Are you characterized by joy unspeakable and full of glory? Well, if you are, then you won't listen to anything I have to say, and that's fine. But if that doesn't describe you, then maybe it's time to begin to wonder, maybe I need to make different choices. Maybe I need to make the choice that Ruth made. Ruth's name means satisfied. Some give the meaning as companionship. And I think both of those are good definitions of Ruth. Ruth counted the cost. She heard the same warnings that her sister-in-law heard. She heard the exact same things of what it was going to cost to go with Naomi. She counted the cost, and then she said, "Where you are, I will be satisfied just to be your companion, just to be by your side. Nothing else matters as long as I can walk with you." Her love for Naomi and her love for Naomi's God were unconditional. Love is what energized her faith. Naomi's name means my pleasantness or delight or joy. Now Naomi began to question whether that was truly her lot in life or not. She says, "Call me bitterness instead." She went through a difficult time. Lost two sons and a husband. But ultimately, her lot in life would be pleasantness and delight and joy, and so would that of Ruth, because she was willing and content and satisfied just to be where Naomi was. This is what Jesus is looking for in you and in me as Christians, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we be found to have a proven character? Why do you do what you do in life? Why do you act and react to situations and circumstances? Why do you make the decisions you make, the choices in life that you make for your family, for your career, for everything in your life? Why do you make those decisions? People are pursuing happiness, joy, peace. That's what they want, I think, generally speaking. But we need to understand there is no joy outside of an unconditional surrender to God and His will. There is no joy, not lasting. There are moments of pleasure, I understand that. The Bible doesn't hide that about sin. There are seasons of pleasure in sin, but they don't last, and they lead to destruction and loss and death. But the ways of the Lord, though they have difficult paths at times, the paths of the Lord always lead to joy and pleasantness if we're willing to say to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, it doesn't matter what I face in life as long as I can face it at your side, together with you, to follow the Lord unconditionally. This is what we need. We love Him because He first loved us. That's why Ruth loved Naomi. Naomi was a good, loving mother, a mother-in-law. Pointed them to Jehovah. Do we love the Lord Jesus Christ because He first loved us? That's what it means to live by faith. Verses 1 and 3 of the second chapter of Ruth. Ruth chapter 2. When you choose to live a life of faith, yes, there are a lot of unknowns. There are a lot of difficult times ahead. I'm not going to tell you, you choose to honor the Lord with your life, everything will go smoothly for you. In fact, more often than not, I will tell you the general rule is the moment you make a decision to follow Christ with all of your heart, you're going to have battles. Because there is an enemy that wants to keep you from that kind of life. Ruth, when she made that wonderful statement, Naomi, where you go, I'll go. When she made that statement, her life didn't magically become perfect. Things got pretty rough for these ladies. They made a long trip back to Canaan. And when they got there, they still didn't have any support. Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 and 3. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, which was Naomi's husband. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. This is the attitude of faith. This is what, you want to know what pleases the Lord? What's a proven character? This faith that works by love will produce in you an attitude of humility and service. This is how you can kind of stand up against the standard of the Word of God to see whether you're pleasing to the Lord. Do you have the attitude of a servant? Do you humble yourself to say, Lord, whatever you can have me do, that's what I want to do. You have to understand the picture that's being painted for us when we talk about gleaners. You know what gleaning was? It was something that was reserved for the poorest of the poor. So it tells us what the state of Ruth and Naomi were. They were the poorest of the poor. When the harvesters came through their fields, this is talking about in Israel, among the Israelites, when they harvested the field, whatever fell on the ground, according to the law of Moses, they had to leave it. And what was on the ground, then the poor people, after the harvest had been taken, then they could go and begin to pick up whatever had dropped to the ground. This was their plight. But notice Ruth says, let me go labor in the field. However I can help, let me help. Let me do something, even though it's insignificant and even though it's considered humble. I have found that those that have a faith that works by love have this attitude. Faith today is being taught in such an erroneous way. Genuine faith doesn't boast about what it's going to do or demand what God should do. Faith, true faith, creates this humble heart of a servant, willing to do anything that will honor God. We don't boast about tomorrow because we have faith. We simply know that God will take care of us today, and when tomorrow comes, then He'll take care of us then. That's faith. God does want to use us for His glory, but are we willing to glean? So many of God's people say, well, you know, someday I'll be useful to God. Someday I'll live by faith. Someday I'll be a good Christian. Someday I'll let God change my life. We need to start taking steps of faith today. Those little insignificant steps of just doing the will of God. And then you'll begin to see how God orders your steps, like He did for Ruth. We need to do the little apparently insignificant things, like gleaning. Start with that today. From time to time, Brother Freestone's had the same experience when he was pastor. And from time to time, we have those that want to come to the meeting here, and sometimes they're just recently saved. And, you know, I like to teach the Sunday school class. Well, good for you. But you're not going to do that. We need to do the little things. We need to start gleaning in the field first. You know what those little insignificant things are? How about just reading your Bible in a daily devotion? How about spending time in prayer? Well, I want to do something big for God. How about assembling yourself together faithfully? Simply because you love God and you love His people and you want to do the things that please and honor Him. Those are the little things. And if you begin to do that, like Ruth, just going out and getting her hands dirty, that was hard, hot work. But she begged Naomi, let me do it. Do you have that kind of intense heart of a servant? I like what it says there. When she went out to glean, she just happened onto the field of her future husband. And this is so indicative of a life of faith. It's not declaring what and when something's going to happen. I get so irritated with God's people. Well, I got faith. God's going to do this. God's going to do that. God's going to heal me. God's going to give me that job. Whoa. Where do you read that in the Bible? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What the Word of God tells you is, my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That you can believe. But I don't know how He's going to do that from day to day. I just know He'll show Himself faithful. I know that God, when I look to Him in faith and I am faithful to do the little things that He's asked me to do in His Word, I know that He will see to it that I'm where I need to be when I need to be. I believe that. That's part of the peace that passes understanding. When I look at the news reports, when I look at the stock exchange, when I look at the world, I don't get peace from that, do you? the future, from the human standpoint, doesn't look too good. But I have a faith that works by love. And I know that He'll order my steps for today. And when tomorrow comes, He'll do it again. And I'll just happen to be where I need to be. Now, when I say that, I'm talking about being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, learning to recognize His voice in His Word. But nonetheless, God directs us according to His own wisdom. Just glance there in the second chapter of Ruth, verses 11 and 12. It says that Boaz noticed Ruth. I believe that Ruth was a beautiful woman. We don't have a picture of that. I don't think that we have a clear statement of that. But I don't believe that Boaz was attracted to Ruth because of her physical beauty. He heard the story. This Moabitess left her home and came with Naomi and was willing to support her mother-in-law through this very difficult work. He was impressed with her, her choices, her attitude. A life of faith will be considered to be insignificant by the world. The world's not going to look at you and say, "Oh, I want to live like you." She was the poorest of poor. The world's not going to look at you and envy you because you live by faith. Not when they look superficially, at least. But the Lord will notice a life of faith. The Eternal One, the One who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the One who is the heir of all things, He will notice those insignificant individuals who are willing to live by faith, energized by love. Who is it you want to impress in life? I want to be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be found busy about the things that He says I should be busy about. Verses 15 and 16 of Ruth 2. We'll read this part because I think it's encouraging. "And when she arose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, 'Let her glean even among the shears, the sheaves, and do not reproach her.'" In other words, even that which hasn't been fully harvested yet, don't rebuke her when she gets in among those sheaves that are getting ready to be picked up. "And let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." I like the King James phrase just because I heard it as a kid and it kind of stuck with me, but handfuls of purpose. Handfuls of purpose. Now remember, she's still a gleaner. She's still a poor person working hard. She's still laboring in the hot sun. But in her labors, she finds abundance. She finds success. Because behind the scenes, she doesn't know it, but behind the scenes, Boaz is making sure she has more than enough. What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the midst of your trials, in the midst of your labors, when it seems like things are going hard and difficult, you need to keep your eyes open for those handfuls of purpose of the grace of God. He gives us success in our endeavors, no matter how insignificant they may seem to the world. But He supplies our every need. He's generous in His grace and His mercy. And we need to acknowledge that. Verse 23 of Ruth 2. She stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Here's another virtue that will be seen in those that have a faith that works by love. It's called patience. She gleaned for the entire harvest season. We're talking over a number of months here. Nothing seemed to change. She was still a gleaner. She was still the poorest of the poor. But she didn't give up. She kept doing every day what she knew she could do. Your faith and your love can be measured by your patience. Think about that for a minute. How much do you love God? Well, how are you going to measure that? Well, why don't you start with your patience? You can measure how much you love God by your patience. How much you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Too many of God's people, they give up and they stop serving, they stop praising, they stop praying, they stop seeking God when the trial doesn't seem to go away, when it doesn't change, especially as fast as we think it should. Have you become impatient concerning the second coming of Christ? Jesus said he's coming. Do you believe that? Amen. If you believe it, the Bible says you'll purify yourself even as he is pure. You'll live a life that is lived to please him because you expect him to come at any moment. I think some of God's people have forgot his second coming from the way they live. We need not grow weary in well-doing. We need to continue to carry the light, as the song said, to plant the seed, because the reward is sure and it's eternal. Don't grow impatient. Ruth didn't. In Ruth chapter 3, verse 5, and I'm going to have to come to a rapid close here. Read the book of Ruth, familiarize yourself with the story. But Naomi tells Ruth of the law of the Redeemer kinsman that would allow Boaz to become Ruth's husband and to redeem them from poverty. It was part of the law, part of the custom. There were some things that needed to be done. Naomi gives Ruth some very specific instructions and said, Ruth, this is what you need to do. This is where you need to go. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to say to Boaz in order to seek his favor. Ruth had no idea about any of these things. She didn't know all these customs. She didn't know about the Jewish custom of the Redeemer. And yet, what does she say to Naomi when Naomi says, this is what you do? Verse 5, Ruth 3, verse 5, and she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do. So many times when I'm counseling God's people about some changes they need to make in their life, and I give them the scripture, and some people say, but why does it say that? I don't get that. What does that have to do with anything? If it's the Word of God, don't you think he knows better than you how to run your life? He's your creator. He's your loving father. He's the one who sent his son to die that you might have eternal life. We need to have the attitude of Ruth. You know, I don't understand all this, but whatever you say to me, that I will do. That's faith. Do you see how that's different from what's being preached today? Faith today is, God, do this because I've got faith. But faith says, God, because you said this, I will do it. That's the faith that the Bible teaches. That's the faith that's seen in Ruth's life. Let's close with Mark chapter 11. You know how the story ends? If you don't, be sure and read it. There were a number of things that needed to transpire, but the end result was that Boaz marries Ruth and becomes a woman of privilege and wealth in Israel. She becomes the mother that became a part of the line of the Messiah, the Savior of the world. She started out a gleaner, and now she's exalted all the way to this high place of privilege in the plans and the purposes of God. There were a lot of things that stood between Ruth, the gleaner, and Ruth, the exalted mother. But because she had a faith that worked by love, that characterized her life, a proven character, she was exalted. Saints, the same was true with you and me. Mark 11, verse 22. This is one of the passages that are so abused by the so-called faith preachers today. But it's a good passage, and it's one that I rest in. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." When we ask for the things that have been revealed in the will of God to be for us, this passage is of great assurance. And this is always the context of faith. To ask for, to believe that what God says is for us will be given. The Bible tells me I have an opportunity to rule and reign with Christ as a joint equal heir. That I can be the eternal companion of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the heir of all things. Now there's a lot of mountains that stand between me and that lofty position. There's me. That's one big mountain. There's my flesh. There's the work, the labor that's involved. There's the sacrifice. There's the life that needs to be lived now as we wait for Jesus to come. There's a lot of mountains between me and sitting on the throne of Jesus Christ. There were a lot of mountains between Ruth and becoming a woman of influence and privilege in Israel and obtaining the blessing of being an ancestor to Jesus Christ. She was a Moabitess. That's a big one. That's a big strike against you. She was poor. She was without a husband and without a child. That's a lot of mountains. But do you see how all of those mountains were cast into the sea and the way was made open? The same will be true for me, for you, who have been given this promise. If you will believe, if you will have a faith, if you will exercise. And saints, the good thing about this, you know where you get faith that works by love? God gives it to you. All you have to do is receive it and exercise it. So you don't have to manufacture it. You take God at His word and you love Him because He first loved you. Let's close with a song. Is your life characterized by a proven character? Do you have a life that is characterized by a love, by a faith that works by love? If not, you can begin this morning. Let's stand. I want every head bowed for just a moment, if you would. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time that we have together. And Lord, we do thank You for the many godly mothers that have dedicated their life first and foremost to You, and because they dedicated it to You, they've also dedicated it to the well-being of their children. We thank You for such mothers. We do pray for those that did not have that opportunity. Lord, we know that You are able to be everything that we need in life. And so we pray that you would comfort those that this may be a difficult day. But Lord, most of all, we thank you for the privilege to understand that no matter where we are, that we can today begin to walk in the fullness of your mercy and of your grace. I pray that as I give invitation this morning, that you would speak to hearts by your Holy Spirit. For if the Spirit does not move, nothing gets done. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts this morning. While every head is bowed, I'll ask if there are any here this morning, young or old, that have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you would like to have that opportunity this morning to know that you will spend eternity in the presence of God. It doesn't matter what your past has been. It doesn't matter how great your sin is. Your sin is not greater than the grace and love of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died to pay the debt of all of your sin. So if you're here this morning and you would like to accept the gift of eternal life, raise your hand high and we'll pray with you so you can have that assurance before you leave. Anyone at all? All right. I hope that all of us have here this morning made that choice to accept Jesus Christ. That first step of salvation is by a faith that works by love. But then as we continue to go on with the Lord, it must still be faith that works by love. If the Lord's spoken to your heart as we sing the song this morning, come around these altars and seek the Lord to cause you to walk in a way that honors him. What's the number we have? 348? Number 348. Let's sing the first and last verse, please.